Blog Talk Radio.
And the Spirit of the Lord declares that I am the God who hovered over the earth. I am the God who hovered over the face of the deep. I am the God who hovered over a place that was void and empty. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that have broken out, that have covered the earth, that have spoken, declared things, and spoke things into existence, and there it was. I am the God who did not forsake the covenant that I made with the earth before the foundation of the earth. I am God, Yahweh. I am the God that hovers over the nations, and even as I hovered over the earth in the beginning, I am hovering over the nations even now. But it is I who have declared that after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power to witness throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. And I have anointed you prophet and apostle and teacher and evangelist to be witnesses throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. So I say unto you today to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So I declare unto you today to speak, to prophesy,
to Kingdom Talk. You are listening to your host, Pastor Takwesha Goss, and tonight we are going to be talking about listening and also applying the Word of God, because that's most of what this walk is about. You know, God is bringing things to our attention for us to actually apply it to our everyday living and to actually change, you know, our ways of thinking, our perspective, and our even our daily routines. And I believe God does this for us so that we can see where we need a change, because, you know, sometimes you don't know you need change or you need help in the area because you've been doing it for so long, you know, and it seemed right, and it's all you know, and it's just been a part of you. But God is saying, no, some things, no matter how long you've been doing it, it's just not right. It's not the way to go, and we need to actually change it. And the book I'm coming from is James chapter 1. Starting at the 19th verse, where it reads, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And, you know, like all word that's given on here, I advise you, you know, to read it in its entirety. And because in the whole book, James is really just reminding us that we are not the law, you know, nor the judges of others, that there's only one judge who is able to save and destroy. And how we're students, you know, we're students of the word. We're students to God. We're learning how to listen, you know, before we speak and before we react to things. We're learning how to be set free from our flesh and not allowing our flesh to rule over us, but to submit to the mighty hand of God and not to emotion, you know, which is what most people are used to when you operate in the flesh. Anything that happens, you know, I'm going to lash out, I'm going to go off, because that is common, right? But in James, he's telling us, no, you got to actually do this thing with faith. You know, you actually got to trust in the Lord. You actually have to be able to have salvation in Jesus Christ, and your faith alone will work for you. God is wanting us to trust him more and more deeply. And we can do that by simply changing our actions, because that's going to really show what type of faith we have. You know, if we have that trust, it's going to produce an action that show that we trust and that we believe. We're going to do works. Our works to be our acts of faith. You know, we're doing things that we don't necessarily understand, that we don't necessarily have the answers to, you know, or can't quite piece everything together, but we're doing it as an act of faith to God, trusting that whatever he tells us to do, it's going to work out. Whatever, wherever he tells us to go, he's going to make a way. Because we're just trusting him, so naturally, we're going to obey him. You know, we're saved, so we believe in Christ. And people who believe in Christ follow the ways of Christ. And that's just going to produce the action, the faith of it. So he's calling us in the book of James to label, you know, even when we're going through hard times, as joyful moments. Why? Because these are the moments that's going to bring opportunity for us to trust in God at a deeper level. And that is trusting faith. Because if we wasn't going through anything, we wouldn't have anything for God to solve. We wouldn't have an issue where he needs to come in and show that he is God. We wouldn't need God. If we never went through anything, you know, what would that do? What would that mold us to be? Us going through actually brings out the perseverance and the patience. You know, all those trials and tribulations comes through that. If we don't go through anything, we wouldn't be built up. We wouldn't be grounded or rooted. We're asking God for that wisdom. We're turning to God to pour out his wisdom. Because if you reject God's wisdom or seek any wisdom outside of God, you know, you're showing that you lack trust in him. You know, and then you don't want that. Because when you lack trust in him, that's when you become desperate and you start going to other means and other measures of trusting and going to get, you know, answers from witch doctors and all these different things, which is not the answer. You got to trust and wait on the Lord and have faith that he's going to respond no matter what it is, you know. And if he doesn't, that's also a response as well. And you just wait and you pray and you wait on the salvation of the Lord, because God is longing to see us have trust in him, you know, because he's already proven himself by giving his only begotten son. You know, it's nothing more that he should have to do for us to trust him, because he's already proven to be a good God, a good father, you know, a great shepherd. He's already done so much in times past. You know, it's not like a person where they just coming into your life for the first time and you got to see what they're about. No, we know what God is about because we are the walking miracle. You know, we are the testimony. Our life is that already, just from the day we was born and everything that we have endured from birth till now, because everybody has a story. Not one person do not have a situation where they know that God brought them out. You know, they may not understand how, they may not understand the why, but they're like, I know that this was not me, you know, and that's God showing who he is. That's God showing himself to you. So he's longing for us to just trust him wholeheartedly. You know, all he wants for us is to be saved. All he wants for us is to choose him. You know, he's watching. He's looking at how we think about money. Because that's a big thing in our society, money, you know, in this life. When God already told us money was the root of all evil, right? But people are hungry for it. You know, they don't even have that same hunger and thirst for God. They're not even applying the word as they apply law of attraction and how they think they're going to manifest money and speaking money chants and all these different things. And it's like, wow. You trust more in money than God, you know, in paper, and God has seen that. You know, like, I saved your life. I came through for you. You know, where was the money? You know, where was the money when you were sick? Where was the money when you were dying? Where was the money when you were heartbroken? You know, God was there, not the money. Not the money. Life is short, you know, to be worried about our financial situation, which is really meaningless when you think about your eternal riches in heaven, you know. And it's safe to say, yes, we do need money to survive here on earth. We're not saying that, you know. We're not being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Yes, I get that. We do need money to survive. We got to pay bills. We got to do all these things. Yes, but God will sustain you as long as you're in his will, as long as you're doing, you know, obeying his word, everything that he tells you to do, he's going to provide. He's going to provide. I know firsthand he will make a way out of no way. It doesn't matter the situation. God will do it. God will meet those deadlines. God will pay those bills. God will, you know, keep you in your place, keep you from being homeless, keep you from being hungry, because he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So we cannot be hung up on money when we're supposed to be storing up our riches in heaven. Yes, we need finances here. We're not taken from that, but that should not be everything. That should not be our whole focus. That should not be consuming us that we're so worried and stressed out about it. When God said, I take care of the flowers and the birds and the bees, what less do I think of you? He told us that in his word. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will work itself out. You know, tomorrow will work out his own troubles. Why are you stressing? And that's why James, you know, tells us to not only be a hearer, but a doer of the word, because we got to apply the word when it comes to even finances. You know, there's biblical ways to obtain wealth in the Bible. You know, everything in this life has a biblical standpoint where you can get help, you know, and get a reference from. Not just, you know, healing and all those different things, but finances as well. But we got to rejoice, you know, that those material things in life is going to be gone. You know, we should be glad that we're rich in life, you know, that we're rich because we have the Spirit of God in us. That's what makes us rich, because we wake up every day with life, because God is blessing us, keeping us, and sustaining us in the midst of troubles, in the midst of storms, in the midst of things that were literally supposed to take us out. Trusting in Christ is going to guarantee us an eternity in heaven. That's something that money cannot buy. An eternity with our Father, you know, getting the crown of life. For those that trusted him through the trials, you know, to those that he watched cry, you know, and suffer for his namesake and be persecuted for his namesake, you get the crown of life. You know, we don't get to use these trials as an excuse to sin. Oh, because I have no money, so I went and stole. Oh, I didn't have this, so I went and did that. Oh, I needed X, Y, and Z, so I didn't. No, that's not an excuse. We're supposed to turn to God in everything. In everything. Don't blame God when things don't go, you know, the way you may thought they should, or the way, you know, they may seem it should have went. No, because that's not God's fault. It be us who make decisions without wisdom. That's why the word says ask God for wisdom, and he'll give us wisdom to make wise decisions, because clearly that means he knew we wasn't very wise without him. Clearly he knew we were making decisions that were dumb. So we have to ask for godly wisdom so that we can do better. Because it's implying that without God, we're not so smart as we think we are. We're not as smart as we think we are. We might have some worldly wisdom, yes, but we're not as smart as we think. That's why we need godly wisdom. We need God to show us the way and help us do what is right. And God may allow some of that suffering in our lives, right? Because that's what God does. One of the fruits of his Spirit is long-suffering. So he allowed the suffering in our life, but the hardships was never meant to lure us away from him. You know, it's happening to encourage us to move closer to him in those hard times. That's what we need when they come, to draw nigh to God, to be closer, to be in tune with him. Because that's what he wants, that's what he desires, is for us to have a stronger relationship with him. That's what this all is about, us having a stronger relationship with God. That's it. Because God don't withhold nothing good from us. Every good thing we have and every good thing we want comes from God. We know that. He's the ruler of everything. He's the single source of everything good in our lives. When you move away from God, you're moving away from good. Remember that. So the closer you are to God, the closer you are to good things happening to you and good things just moving in your life as you would want it to. He's saying, count, you know, turn to him. Count all of this that you're going through, all joy. Count it all joy. All these trials that you're going through, all these testing, because it's making you steadfast, you know, and let it just have it perfect work. Let it be complete in you so you don't lack nothing. And if you do lack wisdom, like I said earlier, ask God, because he's going to give it to you generously. He ain't going to withhold it from you. And everything we ask, we pray, we got to do it in faith. No doubting. Because when you doubt, then that's when, you know, you're like a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. You got to stand on what you believe. Because if not, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you can't really ask for something and not have faith, because then you're not going to get it. It's by faith that whatever you ask happens. It's by faith. But he wants us to be humble and have humility, you know, be low, and he will exalt us. That's what God wants. He don't want us to be prideful and arrogant, thinking that we're something that we're not, thinking that we're better than others. No, he told us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Do you know what that means? Like, okay, if you want to make sure you're good and your stomach is fed and you're clean, you should want all those things that you want good for yourself, the same as your neighbor. Our faith, our belief is not supposed to be a every man for themselves. That's not this faith. That's not what this is. This is all of us working together, loving one another and helping each other to draw nigh to God, helping each other to find the way to Christ, helping people to hear the word of God, not just to hear it, but to actually do it. Because if you don't be a doer of the word of God and just a hearer, you want to deceive yourself. Because the Bible says you look in the mirror at your natural face and you forget what you look like. You forget who you are. That's how the word is. You can't just hear it and then not apply it. You forget the word. You're not going to ask it out. You're not going to live according to it. How could you forget the features on your face that you see every day? The same with the word. How could you forget if you're hearing the word every day? No, you got to apply it. You can't just hear it and then not apply it. No, you got to remember. And then the Holy Ghost will bring the word into remembrance. Because there is some things that I forget. Of course, we're human. But guess what? With the Spirit of God, I don't really forget, because God will bring it back to me. If I need to know it, God will bring it back to me, or have me see it, or have me hear it again. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I remember. So it's not something that's lost. It is still be in my memory. And I know, like, okay, yeah, God said to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, God said to handle it this way. God said to respond in this way. And that's what I love about him. Because even when I fall off, I'm not off. Because the Holy Spirit reminds me, and it's a keeper. And that's what I love about it. It will keep me in right standing. He just wants us to keep persevering and show that we're doers of the word by how we act. Because when we act according to his word and live according to his word and speak according to his word, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed for doing what his commandments say. We're going to be blessed for showing the actions of our faith. We're going to be blessed for that. You know, for bridling our tongue. We're going to be blessed for that. Because that's what God is calling us to. God is calling us to just obey, to submit, to put away everything that is of this world. That's what he's telling us. All the book of James chapter 1 that I just read to you guys was telling us just to apply that word to our life. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. He's telling us that every time we hear the word, we better apply it. We better act on it. We better use it as our go-to. We better use it as our go-to, as a reference. The same way you use social media as a reference, the same way you use different things you see online as a place of reference to see what you're going to eat, right? What you're going to wear, what movie you're going to see. The Bible is the same thing. It's a reference to what we're going to do, what we have to do, what we need to do. It's the same thing. Well, God, what should I wear? What should I eat? What should I put in my body? It's all in there, but we don't look at it as that, but that's exactly what it is. It's to shape the very way that we live, the way that we act, everything. Everything that we do, everything that we need is in his word, but he want us to apply it. He want us to apply it to our life, because that's the only way we're going to get better. That's how we get better. That's why I say, be slow to speak, be quick to hear, bridle that tongue. It's telling us that sometimes it don't matter what the situation is. Apply that word, because even though you might be right, but God said, be slow to speak, right? So that means be quiet. Even if you're correct, but God said be quiet, so now you got to apply that word and be quiet. And then his words say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But you're right, and you know the person is wrong, but are you going to argue with a spirit? Because the word said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So why are you going back and forth with the person? So this is why we have to apply the word, because it will help us in our life so that we won't get in certain situations and have to deal with certain things unnecessarily. Like, yeah, we're going to have to warfare. Yeah, we're going to have to pray. We're going to fight back. Yes, we're not going to be no doormat. But in the natural, we can avoid a lot of situations just by applying the word to our life, just by having patience, just by listening to the voice of God, that small, still voice, just by humbling ourselves and not responding, even though we're right. But that's a matter of being humble, and everybody don't want to be humble. Everybody don't want to wait on God. Everybody don't want patience to have his perfect work. They quit. They fast to respond. They fast to move. They fast to jump out without God even telling them to jump, to go, to move, to leave. No, what are we doing here? If you say he's your Lord and Savior, he's your God, he's your Father, he's your great shepherd, you know, we know him as all these things, so why are you not allowing him to be that? Why are you going ahead of yourself? Why are you trying to be in control of your life? Why are you trying to make decisions that you know nothing about? Because clearly we don't know all the plans that he has for us. We don't know it all. We only know when he speaks in part. So if we don't know, why not wait on the author and finisher of our life? Why not go to him and ask him who created us? Why not wait on the Lord to answer us when we don't understand something? Instead of trying to figure it out with our own worldly wisdom, as I spoke about earlier, that gets us in trouble. Why not wait and see the salvation of the Lord? Because all he's doing is testing us through trials and just trying to reveal our faith. That's it. What type of faith you have? Are you going to trust me? Or are you going to leave like everybody else do? Or are you going to get tired of doing good? Or are you going to get tired of looking at what's happening in the natural and saying, you know what, this don't make sense. I'm done with this. No, where's your faith? Your faith is being tested. Your faith is important. Your faith is precious. Faith is a vital part to salvation. It's just as important as the heart is to the body. Your faith is everything. Without faith, you don't have nothing. We need our faith. And our faith, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. and our faith can grow and become supernatural when it's built in us as we hear, understand, and trust in God's word. Those three things. We got to hear it, understand it, and trust it. We got to put those three together. Because you can hear something and not understand it and whatever, don't believe it. You don't care. Like, okay, I heard you. Whatever it is, whatever. But if you hear it and you understand what's being said to you and then you trust, you got it. God is not sending these trials, you know, to break us down or to destroy our faith. That's not the point. He's doing these things to actually build our faith and to encourage us in him. Encourage us in him, in our walk with him. It's not about us. It's about our trust and love in him. Because these trials is inevitable. Life is going to happen. Difficulty is going to happen. But we have to do it with faith. Because that's going to produce the patience. Because let me tell you now, life is never going to stop lifing. Things is going to keep happening. Difficulty is going to come, right? Hardship, all that. But if you go through life without that patience and that faith, right? Excuse me. And you have that unbelief in your heart, right? And you grumbling, you moaning. You know what those trials could produce? Bitterness and discouragement. You'll be angry. You'll be mad. And when the book of James told us to count it all joy. Is a faith response. It don't mean that the problems went away. It don't mean that it's not hard. It don't mean none of that. It just means now, oh, okay, because I'm going through this, now God can show out on my behalf. Now God can reveal his perfect work. Now God can show up to where he shows that I'm lacking nothing because I have him. He's going to give us endurance and let it grow. It's going to come slowly. You got to go through stuff. You got to endure some things for a time. It's okay. When you're patient and you endure, that's a sign of a person who is perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Why? Because you're waiting on God. You're not letting the affliction overtake you. It's the devil's desire to set us on a track where we feel we got to rush for everything. We got to be running. When God said, wait on me. When God said, let me complete the work that I started in you. When God said, wait on the Lord, and I shall renew your strength, and you shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar, right? This is all God saying, waiting on me, not doing nothing. Of course, you got to work as well as prayer, you know. You got to be working, of course, but you're still waiting on God. You're not doing nothing out of season. You're not doing nothing because you feel like it, because you antsy, because you know, you don't know which way to go, and God is taking too long. No. Mm-mm. And when trouble comes, that always try to tempt people to sin, because he wants you to get out of, God's will, because he wants you to get out of God's assignment. Don't become an unbeliever because you're under affliction. That's a sin. Don't murmur and complain. That's a sin. That's what the devil wants you to do. And he wants you to think that by doing that, you're escaping from the difficulty. You're not. You're still going to be going through. While you're complaining, while you're bitter, while you're discouraged, you're still going to go through. You're just not going to have the right posture. You're just not going to be in the right position. But we're taught to pray. And pray through temptation and trials and tribulation and all that. so that we not turn into sin. Because if we go through it, it could show God's wonderful work in us. And that's when you really could feel God in those tough moments, when you laying down and you crying and you like, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. God, I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. God, I don't know how I'm going to get the money for this bill. That's when you really feel God, like, you're like, what? He showed up. And it was because you was going through and you really was crying out to him. You was really seeking him. You was going hard. You was longing for him. You really felt that power of faith. You really felt the strength of God. But he wanted to be like that all the time. In good times, in bad times, sad times, mad times. All the time. He wanted to always be seeking him and looking to him for the answer and looking for him to carry us through and to just direct us and order our steps. That's it. We don't want to be a double-minded man, unstable in all our ways. We don't want that. We want to be grounded and rooted in God. We want to be without reproach. He's the God of an open hand. He gives so freely. Anything we need, we're going to find it first in God's word, because that's how he's going to speak to us. But we got to have humility first, and humility is coming to God. We got to ask of God. Because none of this comes on our own. We got to ask in faith. Don't doubt God's ability. Don't doubt him that he can do it, because he can. And we can receive anything from the Lord, anything. We have to be stable. We have to be grounded in his word and in him. Because if you're going to doubt, you're going to be without rest. If you're going to doubt, you're going to be unstable. You know, you're going to doubt, you're going to be driven by the winds. If you're going to doubt, you're going to be capable of great destruction. You could destroy your life, you know, by doubting and not waiting and, you know, having no faith. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be in middle ground between faith and unbelief. That's to be double-minded. You don't want that. You want to be stable. You got to give up the world. Give up the things of this world. You know, praying, Lord, you know, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Ask God to help you. It's okay to ask God to help you with your unbelief if you feel you're lacking that. But you got to feed your spirit and build your faith. You know, read your word and just stay in God's presence. Because we really have to live according to this book. That's why he gave it to us. It's about what's in that book, what's in that Bible, and how we apply it every day to help us get through here on this dark world. That's what it's for. Because everything else is going to pass away. The world's going to fold up, but his word is going to still stand. You know, we're living for the Lord, and he's blessing those who endure the temptation. Because you won't receive the crown of life. Because the Lord promised it to those who love him. To those who love him. Just gotta conquer your temptation
endure it. Say no to the world and say yes to God. And God will give you your crown. He's looking for us to turn away from sin. He's looking for us to turn from our worldly desires to godly desires. You know, have a stronger passion for your relationship with God. You know, give him the honor and the glory that he so much deserves. And not giving it to anyone or anything else because he's a jealous God. He don't want us putting no man before him. He wants us to give it all to him. And rightfully so, because he is the King of all kings and Lord of lords. Like, why would he want to come second to anybody? Like, no, he's the Alpha and Omega. Why would he? He don't deserve to come behind no one else or any other God because he's the one true living God. So stay grounded and rooted in your word. Make sure you're applying that word to your everyday life. Make sure you're going about hard times with faith. Make sure you're not just hearing that word, but doing it. That means living it out, walking it out, actually doing what God tells us to do and asking him for wisdom while you're going through. Asking him to give you the strength to resist temptation, to actually resist the world and reject it so that you can have everlasting life so that he can, you know, bless you and welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. That's what this all is for, so we can be heaven bound. We don't want to be going to hell with Satan. We don't want to miss him. We don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I know you not. We don't want to hear that. So he's given us an opportunity while we're here to make the right choice and to seek him and to give up all the things of this world, including the money, to have everlasting life in heaven, because some things money just cannot buy, and salvation is one of them. So it don't matter your status here on earth, your money, your job title, your degrees, none of that matters. What matters is your heart. What matters is you obeying him and saying yes and surrendering it all to him. That's all he cares about. He's not impressed by your accolades. He's not impressed by how much humanitarian work you did and how many homeless people you even fed or how much money you gave to the homeless. What he cares about is, okay, you did that, but was you saved? Did you know me? Did you accept me as your Lord and Savior in your heart? Did you repent? Did you turn from your sin? Did you stop? Did you stop? You know, did you love my people? Did you have a heart for my people, or was you wicked and was you trying to kill my people and oppress my people and destroy my people? That's what he cares about. He could care less about the countenance of a man. He could care less about how many designer labels you got on. You know, heaven is not a fashion show. God could care less about that. He want to know what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what is your motive, what is your agenda when you do these things. And that's why we have the word to keep us right, because our human nature is sinful, because we was born into sin. That's why Jesus died for us, because our human nature is to sin. We will sin over and over and over and over without Jesus. That's what stops us. That's what makes us turn. That's what actually helps us to have an upright spirit, because we have Jesus in us. That's what's keeping us up. That's what's helping us. You know, even when we fall, we repent and we turn. We don't do it no more. We ask God to deliver us, and then we get into the word, and God will deal with whatever it was that was making us go that route. You know, deal with the stronghold. He'll break the chains, and we won't deal with it anymore. So that's why we're doing it, because without him, we can't do it. Without him, we can't stop. Without him, we cannot change. We can't be better. We're filthy rags. From dust we came, and from dust we shall return. So we cannot do nothing in this world without God.
and without the Spirit of God, without the Holy Ghost, we can't do it. We can't. That's why we're here and we're spreading the gospel and we're just trying to lead people the right way. And we're trying to persuade you that this life is better than the worldly one. You know, this Jesus that we talk about is way better than what you're looking at right now, but it's only for a short time. Because we have two choices at the end of the day, you know, on Judgment Day. You know, we do make the choice. It's not God who placed us there. We make that choice of where we're going in the end by how we lived here on earth. Because the Bible tells you exactly where you're going according to how you live, according to how you treat his people. So make the right choice on today. Choose God. You know, choose Jesus. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Not by doing good alms and deeds and being nice and blessing people. And no, salvation don't come by doing good deeds. Mm-mm. It's about confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus died and rose on the third day just for you. And you got to live a life in faith. And you got to face adversity head on, not run from it. You got to face it head on. Deal with the enemy head on. Fight back. Fight the temptation. Fight against the world. Fight against the things that is coming to lure you away from God. No, the devil is a liar. You can be holy. You can be righteous. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You can do it. You can live a holy life. You can live a sanctified life, a separated life. You can. The enemy is lying to you, thinking that you can't do it. You just got to make the choice. So thank you guys for tuning in to Kingdom Talk. Again, I'm your host, Pastor Tyclosia Goss, and thank you for listening on NDO Gospel Radio Network. God loves you, and so do I. And you guys have a blessed night. Keep your faith. Guard your faith. Your faith is precious. And love God over everything else. God first. Everything else is secondary. Continue to pray. Continue to fast. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And the end is near. You guys have a blessed night.